Summer and the Price of Eggs. Written by Glitter Pig and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Fandom, our flag means death. Summary: Ed and Steve try to make it work on land. Evening. Fireside. Ed settled back against the porch steps with a contented stretch and sipped from his half of the coconut. Steed, eyebrows theatrical, was orange-lit in the glow as he spun their together tail. "And there we were," he said. "Our two intrepid adventurers stood on the front porch of their future inn, starting a new life together. Will our heroes manage to live happily ever after? I should think so. For how hard can it be?" Ed snorted. How hard indeed. 3 weeks ago, as he'd watched the Revenge limp out into the setting sun, Steed by his side, he'd been ready to retire without a second thought. It had felt right. Bloody brilliant. Well, he was having a second thought now. Maybe a couple second thoughts, actually. His stomach growled right on cue. Yes, it would be nice if they had a tad bit more food, for one. Anything other than the couple feral animals they'd managed to rustle up to skewer over the campfire. Some of those had been quite stringy. And if they'd brought some essential survival gear, that might have made life on the shore a smidgen easier. Beside him, Steed sighed. Alas, they'd made their retirement plans before they'd considered the extreme undertaking that was home renovation. And they may have underestimated how unlikely it was to subsist on foraged edibles from the seashore. That made things a bit difficult. "Not to mention the fucking obnoxious birds," said Ed. "Ah, yes," said Steed wisely. "Our colony of terns." For the terns had become their main adversaries during their time in the shack, nesting in the rafters, stealing their potential fish, waking them before dawn due to incessant squawking. "Our two adventurers didn't expect the fucking terns, did they?" said Ed, wriggling his toes to warm them by the coals. "No, they didn't. But how could they have known?" Steve waved a philosophical hand. "For they were new to land."
"Bruh, didn't you live on land? Like, for almost 50...
"Castaways," Steed said, ignoring Ed's point. "Can you imagine? Marooned on this sun-baked isle. And who to rely on, you might ask? Why, only each other."
"Gosh,"
said Ed. He watched, mesmerized, as the flickering flames cast dramatic shadows across his ex-co-captain's fantastical expression.
"Ay me,"
Steed suddenly shouted, causing Ed to upset his coconut.
"Fuck,"
Ed laughed, riding it again. Steed's eye glinted in the flickering firelight.
"I'll say.
Would you care for more rum?" Ed passed over the cup. Steed tipped the rest of the bottle in with a wink. And they said romance was dead. Because it clearly wasn't. Dead, that is. For, though the Republic of Pirates was only just in the rebuilding stage, small disreputable businesses springing from the ashes like never-kill daisies, here Steed was, offering to head into town to find breakfast. It was over a half-hour's walk. "Thanks, babe, but I got it." Ed was ankle-deep in the ocean, bent over the playful surf, mastering the art of fishing so they could survive another day. "Your stomach is making alarming noises," Steed argued.
"You hate going into town," Ed countered.
"Oh, that wreckage from the explosions. And the smell, of course. Wish they'd do something about that."
And that wasn't even mentioning Steed's passive, yet fierce, battle with the egg seller.
"Fishing's all about being patient," Ed assured him. "And clearing your mind. Kevin taught me that."
"Did he now?" Steed eyed the sword in Ed's hand. "And what did Fang say about fishing without a line?"
"Didn't come up."
Ed sliced his blade through the water, nearly decapitating a jumping fish.
"Mm-hmm.
Oh, almost got that fucker.
Well, if at first you don't succeed..."
He thrust deep, just missing. Steed jumped back to get out of the way of the sword.
"Edward! Be careful! You'll cut your foot off!" You think it can outsmart me? That thing?
Ed waved to the fish, which was unwisely swimming close and gleaming in the shallows.
Nah, I'll get him.
He hoisted and tried again. It eluded him once more.
Here, let me.
Steed bent to help, rolling his sleeves up past his elbows. Ed had to look away as lust threatened him at the knees, and in so doing nearly was taken out by a wave.
Or perhaps the market,
Steed offered, stumbling back. You think I can't catch a fish?
I can catch anything, Ed said.
But at Steed's raised eyebrows, Ed deflated a bit.
Yep, okay.
Time to go?
Yeah, let's go.
The Republic bore the signs of fire, but in the ruins sprang new chance for capital. The ramshackle market stalls were crowded together, with a paltry selection of things to eat and smoke, and locally sourced weapons mostly from dead soldiers. On the way in, they passed the fruit lady who was quite strident in her advertisement, hollering about bananas and papayas and vital nutrients. She had the gall to sell key lime straight from a nearby tree, easily plucked oneself.
Not paying the idiot tax,
Steed muttered into Ed's ear.
Phew, look at the coconuts on her,
Ed crowed as they passed. Steed paused to glare daggers.
Who? Where?
Ed pointed to the seller's pyramid of coconuts that threatened to topple.
Oh.
Steed's shoulder relaxed against his.
Lovely. But you can get that at home, darling.
Ed smirked. It was true. They passed the amateur shoemaker, who often managed to cobble together somewhat functional, mostly unfashionable, footwear. To their right was a man selling what seemed to be half-charred lumber from the ruins of the surrounding storefronts. And of course, just ahead, Steed's personal enemy.
Oh, it's you.
Steed turned up his nose as they arrived at their destination, inspiring the egg seller to hide his goods under a handkerchief. Steed scoffed.
Well, are they for sale or not?
The poultry farmer sniffed at Steed's general sandy attire. At length, he decided,
5 gold pieces.
Steed looked around, outraged.
5 gold pieces? Each?
Aye.
5 gold for a bit of breakfast?
Steed said louder, appealing to anyone who might be listening. No one paid them any mind. His nemesis shrugged, which only served to enrage Steed further.
That's outrageous! That's worse than last week!
He looked to Ed for backup.
Yeah,
Ed agreed.
Supply and demand, said the merchant. It appears I have all the supply, and you have a lot of demand. That's price gouging, meat!
Steed's hands were balled into fists. Ed slid an arm around his shoulders, saying privately,
Come on, he's not worth it. You're right, Edward. This man is not worth our time and shall not have our patronage.
When the man only stared at him, Steed couldn't help but add a sarcastic,
Good day, sir.
The man shrugged for a third time, so Steed officially got the last word. Ed steered them toward the other end of the market, away from potential bloodshed. He stopped them at a table of ferment selling for a decent price.
Say, you look familiar,
said the merchant in a language Ed half knew.
I'm no one you need to worry about, Ed answered. Wait a sec, aren't you black?
Ed gave him a warning look.
I'm nobody.
The tatters of wanted posters still clung to doors in these parts. The man's eyes widened, but he didn't say a thing more on the subject, and Ed handed over coins for a jar of mustard.
What did he say? Was that Spanish?
Steed said as they moved on.
Something like it. Don't worry about it.
A sudden shout from behind. Ed turned in time to see the chicken man charging for them. Ed jostled Steed's elbow.
Come on.
He took off like a shot.
Why are we running?
Steed cried as he sprinted after him. Avoiding pigs and townfolk alike, they raced through the market and into the throng of builders. Behind him, he could hear Steed gasping. Ed smoothly tugged him into the dark crack between two buildings. Although he somehow managed to scrape his chin painfully against the bricks, he hid them away between the close-leaning walls.
Shit.
It was perfect as far as cover went, a damp and shadowed place where they stayed several unmoving minutes after their pursuer charged past. They didn't speak until all there was to hear was the close buzz of insects and the far conversations of the market resuming now that the drama had passed.
"I think we've escaped unscathed," Steed whispered.
Their shared breath had slowed in the silence, only to speed up once more as he reeled Ed in by the shirt front, deeper into the shadowy coolness. Ed swooned in against him, and their mouths met in a hushed and thorough kiss. All too soon, though, Ed gave an involuntary wince, breaking the moment. Steed pushed him back for examination.
"It's just a scrape,"
Ed grumbled, as Steed lifted his chin with a finger. But he tipped his face up to provide a better angle anyhow.
"Nearly unscathed," Steed amended. "Makes you look quite dashing, though. Just a little morning's excitement to get the blood pumping. And do you happen to know why we're being chased?"
Ed started.
"Oh, right. I got you something."
Reaching into his pocket, he pulled out the surprise like, ta-da, spark of magic. 2 perfect brown eggs.
"Sleight of hand," he said,
as if stealing counted as art. Steed's eyes went shocked, and for a moment Ed realized that while he was used to taking things he wanted, was this supposed to be a fresh start? Were they supposed to be doing it above board, and had he ruined the illusion? But the moment passed, and he was pleased when Steed crowed,
"Oh-ho! That'll teach him how the tides have turned."
Although tides are always turning when you lived on a beach. Ed grinned as Steed fell forward and sniggered against his shoulder, the laughter warming Ed from his toes to the tip-top of his head.
"Marvelous,"
Steed said when he could breathe again.
"Truly impressive."
As if he hadn't witnessed Ed sack entire ships or spool the very jewels off a man's neck.
"No big."
Ed carefully stored the eggs for later.
"But how do we get out? Does this warrant a disguise?"
Ed grinned back.
Yeah.
They switched shirts, hands going unhelpfully everywhere to pull clothes over their heads in the confines of their tight hidey-hole. After adjusting the open collar, Ed ducked to let Steed widen his hair up into a knot and hide it under a hat. They went out of the alley one after another, Ed waiting a long minute until he followed out, wooden boards tucked under one arm that he'd picked up from a pile. He was just anyone, minding his own business, doing an honest day's work just like anyone else. But if you got in his way, then watch out, mate. The second his boots touched the beach path, he dropped the boards and jogged to catch up with Steed. Steed, who had been doing a whistling hands-in-pockets act up ahead, and who greeted him with a pleased sort of cackle.
"Ha! Brilliant!"
Steed yelled into the breeze, and Ed believed it. Later, midday, they had gathered enough twigs and were finally sat beside their makeshift fire pit on the front walk.
"Let's see here,"
Ed muttered, because the fire had gone out since last night, and he was sweaty and now really very hungry, actually. But they'd probably have to spend another fucking hour or so to get the kindling to light.
"I'll just, said Steed, fussing with the flint and a small knife, throwing sparks that never caught.
Ed took the flint and tried for a while. A crab scuttled through the ashes, unharmed because there was no fucking fire yet.
"Fuck,"
said Ed finally. He threw down the tools. Unable to provide breakfast for the love of his fucking life, he flicked the crab. Big mistake, actually. But it was too late as it gave him a solid pinch.
"Ed!"
"It's fine." He gritted his teeth before flinging the crab away. Then, belatedly, watching it scuttle under a rock.
"Dang, I could have eaten that."
He fell back against the front steps beside Steed to stare blankly into the wide blue sky. The little fluffy clouds floating by were like the scrambled eggs he yearned for so ardently. He sighed.
"We really need to learn to fend for ourselves, man. Can't even start a fire to cook you a fucking egg I fucking had to steal."
He pressed his fingers against his eyes until he saw sparks.
"It should have been better than this."
"I love that you stole those for me," said Steed's voice nearby. Ed lay there, baking in the sun. Steed continued, "And I love that we're learning things together. I didn't know how to start a fire. Honestly, I still don't." He drew Ed's hands away from his face and clasped them in his own. This left Ed blinking at him, a bright, dreamy vision of Steed leaning over him, blocking the light, said, "How's your hand?" "Fine." His finger barely hurt anymore. "Land sucks, man. Don't know why you've stayed this long." Steed hesitated. "I like you, Ed." A heart flutter. "Yeah?" "Yes, quite a bit, actually. And I like you in one piece. So stop trying to slice fish with swords, would you? And don't get bit by any more crabs."
"I'm not sure if I can help it. I'm hardly ever in one piece," Ed admitted.
It wasn't yet clear to him if Steed knew that. "Oh, Ed, you're better than you think you are." Ed sat up finally, shaking sand off him. Was it going to work out? Perhaps. Maybe they would start the fire in due time. They would share a belated breakfast and knock knees on the broken steps. But for now, they had the pleasure of seeing the moment that vicious crab got scooped out of the sand by a diving seabird. Ed pumped his fist. "Fucking turns. Whew, yes." "Incredible," Steed agreed, before giving Ed a look he thought was subtle. Ed was, quite soon after, easily coerced inside the shack. The tribulations of the day, it turned out, had nothing on Steed's affections. Those Ed got for free. The end.